The day that my wife explained me why she loves me, I give her a divorce. For a simple reason. Because she will give me practical things. You are nice, you are clever, you have, you tell jokes, it doesn't matter. I can bring immediately 50 men who got the same things. But there is something you cannot explain. I don't have to explain everything, but to accept.
How do we limit ourselves on how much we perceive? And why is planning so dangerous for us? How much are we doing what we think that others expect from us? And how many of our fears come true? In today's episode, I talk to Sami Molcho, probably the most famous mime and body language expert. He was born in 1936 in Tel Aviv, Israel, where he started his stage life at the age of 10. He has lived in Vienna for 60 years and says that the answer no is actually increasing our possibilities. This podcast brings you stories from and about people who stepped into the unknown. Stories about fear, uncertainty, the illusion of security, or I don't know. Let's see what it will be about. My name is Katarina Bayer, and I will host you on this journey into the unknown. As I'm speaking to one of the most famous people when it comes to body language, I was wondering, how does your body feel right now, and how much are you aware in each second what your body tells you?
Well, first, I feel very well in my skin and in my body, especially when such a nice person is smiling to me. But being aware every second, you can't be, because there are too many things that the body is taking as information, giving an information. He got a lot of tools. So starting now to be aware on each thing that you just, you know, eliminate any possibility to be active. So we have always preferences. So things which are ordinary, streaming, you don't have to be aware of it.
You mean like the breathing, you don't have to be aware of it?
Or? Breathing in the surrounding that you know, you react if something is suddenly changing. So what, actually our senses are more affected, you know, that they are taking the changes in the surrounding or the changes which are happening in my body. In the moment there's a change, and it's not in the usual way, then it is coming, you know, all the boop, 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 what's happening. And changes can be a little bit, the effect of is a little bit stronger. It is more intensive, something. It's not in harmony. Yeah. Then you are being aware of it. What happened? Now we are reacting also of our surrounding. The one is, what do I need from this surrounding? Because I cannot supply all the needs that I have in my own body. I have to take it from outside. From the other side, changes can be a little bit dangerous for me. So I have to react on it. So the one is giving me possibilities to enjoy or to calm down needs that my body have. Yeah, for the other side, to protect myself. Now, as you know, feelings. Yeah?
I know about feelings.
You know. The English word of emotion means motion.
Moving, immovere. Yeah.
And that is actually the sense and the effect of feeling. Without feelings, you cannot survive. Because the feeling is inside the changes that tells you you have thirst, I'm hungry, I have pain. All this, what's happening in the body, comes through the feeling. Now, the feeling, it's not only, you know, intellectual thing, oh, okay, I know I'm hungry. You know, you can die by knowing that you are hungry if you don't eat. But it moves you to do something. And the more hunger you have, the more is the pressure, do something. That's why the feeling are actually movement, or force you to move. And it doesn't matter now if it is danger or pleasure I like it or I need it. So I move toward it.
But does that mean for you that whenever you feel a sudden change, that you're really aware what is happening in your body and this is the reaction that you're doing? Because you're so aware of everything you do. And even when I came to your house, you saw things in me. So I was wondering, are you all the time when there's a change happening, realizing what your body is doing? Or do you also sometimes run on autopilot?
Well, I'm very aware of what I see and what's happening in me. But it doesn't mean I am in control. You know, also as an artist, it starts that you have to feel your surrounding. You see the things the way they are. Then it started in subjective interpretation. What I see, what it makes in me, what change it makes in me, which associations it evokes in me. And you start, you know, the subjective interpretation, which can bring to a form of art. Because you cannot describe it always in words. But being aware doesn't mean that you control all the time what you see.
Do you believe in control?
Well, we need it. If it helps, it's something different. You know, because the first reaction is always a feeling. Feeling is moving you quicker than you're intelligent. You know, and that is why the control is coming after the feeling and not before. So the control has to reduce the information to a single information. And it takes time more to analyze it. The feeling reacts of the whole.
You once said, or if I read it somewhere, that the body language is more authentic. And I guess it's because this is the pure feeling than the spoken word. And I was wondering, I have the feeling that a lot of us unlearned our gut feeling, our like sensing what we need. Why do you think that our own body language became so unknown to us?
Education. As simple as that. You know, you are in a community. The community tries, you know, to plan. Community cannot survive without planning. Now, planning, you have to see forwards what is going to happen. So I have to manage or to conduct the thing that it will react the way I expected it. It means I have to block feelings, associations, different wishes which are not in my plan. So the brain is taking in command. Yeah, from do and don't do. So there is actually every education is more blocking don't do than giving you the permission what to do. You don't have to have permission to what to do. The body tells you.
But would this mean in simple words that if I always block my gut feeling, my body won't say, okay, then I don't talk to you anymore?
People do this. Because they are afraid, because they feel they don't understand me. You know, they give up. There is any way because, you know, our position in the society actually depends if the society accepts us. We cannot live and survive alone. We have to be in the community. And to be in the community, it means what the community is expecting from me. And in each time are different priorities, what the community needs. So I'm trying, when you say, I'm trying to be beloved. What is to be a beloved child? The beloved child is the one who is doing what the parents are expecting from him. He's paying for it, not doing what is from inside, the his drive, wishes, yeah. The drive that he gives there. A bad child is the one who is doing or going after his drives, but he pays not being so the lovely child that they say, oh, it's a birthday, uneducated, yeah. A rude person. Yeah. But he enjoys doing what he wants, and he says, okay, I don't give a damn what the society wants from me. I first hear what I want. But of course, society cannot live that way.
It's interesting because I attended a seminar of yours last year, the first one ever that I attended. And there you said, when we were talking about knowledge, you said that we are actually living in a school system and society that punishes for knowledge. And this would still influence us as adults. For example, that we are sometimes very afraid to ask a question and to be blamed for not knowing. But you said that actually this not knowing provides far more honesty and quality to a conversation. Can you say more about this?
Of course. If I think that I know, I'm not in action. Actually, I know everything, so I don't need to do anything. I'm satisfied. But not knowing drives me to search. What are the possibilities? What is behind things? That's why if somebody say, tell me, yes, then it goes on the same line. It's boring.
It's predictable.
Predictable. But if you say no, now there are the options. Okay, for what really the other person tell me no? For this, if I give him a different alternative, maybe he will say yes. So it opens a big, you know, a branch or the angle, you know, that for possibilities. So I can maybe, okay, you say no to this, but if I give you the possibilities, this, say okay, why not?
It's interesting when I watch you now and you said no and it gives you possibilities, your eyes opened and it gave, you looked younger, more playful, like yeah. You like to have the no.
Of course.
You want to have the possibilities.
Because this is what makes me alive, that it's, you know, looking and searching for possibilities opens also my mind. Suddenly you see the world is not only this. If I see, look at a child. The difference between a child looking at a chair and an adult man. For adult men, a chair is an object that you sit on it. The child sees, oh, if I go under the chair, it can be, you know, like a cave. If I go on top of it, it's like a hill. If I throw it down and I put it in, it sees so many possibilities in this object. But now the education took away, annihilated all the possibilities that's in this object, actually. It says, no, this is an object, you sit only on it.
So we give it a word and a definition, and this reduces possibilities.
And then you block all other possibilities.
Yeah.
And besides, when it's cold, it's a very good burning wood. you see, you never thought of it, because you don't burn chairs. During the war, people did
burn chairs,
but they didn't have any other possibilities.
Yeah. In one of your books, you wrote something that always will stick with me. You wrote, we are somebody, and body in capital letters. We are all bodies and we experience everything in our bodies first. I don't know exactly, I think it was one of your books where you said, the body is the place with which we perceive. There is no perception that takes place outside of the body.
So I was wondering, you say society sometimes limits us or our education. How can I relearn to feel myself again, to be a body again? Like, what would you recommend me?
To accept yourselves, not going with the stream.
And how do I accept
who
myself?
Who say the 1,000 people who say something have more right if I see there's something different in it? So it's only, it's always, all the people who invent things, you know, we say, they dare to go above the logic. The logic actually blocks me, inhibited me. Yeah. If I take a metal and I leave it, it falls down. So a metal cannot be in the air. Is it right? Because the moment that you drop it, it falls down. Of course, somebody may be being aware when I throw it. So there is a power working on it, and the more that this power is moving it, it stays longer in the air. Now, today we are going in airplanes and different other things, but it combined things which have been not logical. The logic comes after you have done it, not before. Before, the logic is it falls down. After invented or combined different things together, now you say, well, it is logic. But in looking backwards, not forwards.
Isn't there the saying like, everybody thought it's impossible until somebody came and just tried it?
Or you say, there is a something which say, you know, till somebody come who didn't know it.
Yeah, that it's impossible.
But you know what you asked before, if there are things outside my body, maybe. There are soul, there are different things, but if I, my inhibition is that I can only being aware of something which works on my body. If it doesn't influence my body, I'm not aware that these things exist.
Can you give me an example?
In this room now, there's some concerts, the music.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't work on the vibration of your ear. If I open now my radio, only what he is doing, there is no orchestra in this radio. He is only interpreting the waves that in this room are, in the waves that your ear can hear it. Then suddenly you hear music. Where is this music? There is no musician here. Somebody translated it to the possibilities that you can preserve it, that works on you.
But that means that our body is also translating like a radio the waves from outside.
If it is on the range of your ears. So you have to protect yourself. If you hear everything, you will be bad. A dog hears things that we don't hear. We know it. Does it mean it doesn't exist? There are whistles for dogs. Their frequency is so high, we don't hear it. But the dog is reacting on it. It means if something doesn't affect us and makes changes in us, we don't know that this exists. So we are limited in what we say, what is existence and what is not existence. It has to be translated on our senses.
Would this mean that if I'm very aware and I train my body attention, that I would hear more of the frequencies?
That's right. Many people who are more sensitive
hear more frequencies.
There are more frequencies. They feel things in their skin, they feel things, they cannot explain it because they cannot translate it to somebody else. If you take now the whole area of medium, I don't know if there is or not, because you cannot prove it, actually. You can only wonder, is it right, is it wrong? But I know one thing, yeah? Maybe he got a transmission or the ability to get waves or energy that I am not able to do it.
Doesn't mean they are not there.
For me, they are not there. For the other person, they are there. So we always stay in between that you say, I can accept it or not. I can believe it or don't. But you cannot prove it. And many things, you know, we invent different instruments which are translating in, you know, in the end of the line, they have to translate it into the possibilities for my senses to perceive it.
But now I want to come back to a topic you said before that is for me relating to this. You talked about needs. And you know, when I was a little child, I grew up with this, I don't know if it was a childish game or something. Whenever you see a shooting star, you can make a wish. So you make a wish, but the most important thing is you're not allowed to tell it to somebody. And even as a child, I didn't understand it. And it was strange for me that if I have a need that needs to be fulfilled and there's most probably somebody out there who can fulfill it, why can I not share this need? Why do you think we are very afraid to tell the other one what we need from them?
Because you are going to be judged immediately.
For my need?
No. For your wish. If you get it, you are a hero. If not, you are a loser. Yeah? You got fantasies, you are a loser, you know, it's not real. But if it happened, everybody will wonder. Yeah. Now, if you tell it to somebody, they will try to convince you that it's not real.
You mean the wish that I have?
Yeah. Ah, you wished it. You see, it didn't happen.
I understand this, but I was first thinking, do we not share it because we are afraid to get a no?
Yeah. You are afraid not being right if it doesn't fulfill my wish. So what? Am I a bad person? Am I a loser? For myself, I say, okay, I always wished to be a singer. So I went to a professor to learn singing. After the first lesson, he told me, I have only one advice.
Stop singing.
What? Keep silence. And that's why I become a good mime. That's why I say no brings me another perspective. If I be only frustrated, I wanted it, I don't have the voice, I don't have the ears, the music, I don't know what, yeah? And then I stay in this no and in my frustration. Instead to say, okay, I can't do this. What are the other possibilities? I become a good mime. And when I sing as a mime, there is never a false tone. It's always right.
When I looked up the word mime, it comes from the Greek and it says to imitate somebody. Is this correct?
Well, that's the to mime, it's to give a personality to somebody. I don't have to imitate Mr. X. I imitate a person, a character in a certain situation. So it is, of course, I mime him. Mm-hmm. I give him a personality, I give him and so on. Now, of course, I can have different examples in my brain. Say, it reminds me this and this. It reminds me this person in this situation, which I can use it. Which feelings I had when I've seen it. How was the feeling when I see him? The way that he was walking, the way he was speaking. It was a different energy in his body. It was a different way that he carried his body. So if I put it in my body, I will feel the same. And that is the mime.
So that means when you are miming someone and you try, for example, I don't know, have the same speed of walking, try to make the same gestures with your hand, that you actually can get a glimpse of what that person is feeling when the person is moving like this?
If you are sensitive enough, of course. Because what happens in him can happen in you. Is enlarging my own person and my own experiences. Because also in my life, I experience things which I say, wow, I never knew that I could be like that or that I can do this and this. But it means the situation broke the habits or the broke the what we are doing, the everyday
patterns.
The patterns, yeah. In me. And give me new patterns that I never thought I can be so exactly powerful or do things like this and so on. And it means something in my body opens the different, it activated other boxes in me that it have been, you know, closed.
Yeah, but this is a new possibility then, again.
So with each partner, you are a different person. With each partner, he opens in you different cells, different reactions. Without him, they will be sleeping. And you will never discover that these are things that you have in yourself, unless you block it. Because you are afraid to experience yourself in a very intensive form. You have never done it before. I have in my book about the children body language, and I call it feeling orgasm, the emotional orgasm. Now, the emotional, what is orgasm? Orgasm is this unloading, you know, the energy.
But is it like overwhelming as well?
Overwhelming. Okay. But now see what happens when the child in a shower,
swing?
In a swing.
Yeah.
You know, it's every time it gives in him excitement, you know, that he don't have it normally. Yeah. And the more that he have it, the more excitement it is. You know, this is overwhelming him. But he's getting used to have this experience. The father takes the child and throw him in the air and get him and say, you are safe, you know. But every time, like, I catch him. But every time he throw it in the air, you know, the child, you know, because there is a fear and excitement. And in a certain way, I trust my father that he will. Now the mother is coming, don't throw him in the air, don't you see this screaming? And you say, yeah, but he's screaming in joy. Now, if children are not experiencing these extreme feelings, so they are always in a small range of feelings. But they experience themselves. Now one day, they are in a situation that somebody evokes in them stronger feelings, intensive feelings. They're afraid of it because they never experienced such a thing. So they don't know, it's too intensive for me.
But this would mean that we should be happy if we have intense feelings in our childhood.
That's right.
Even because if they are like intense sadness or something.
Sadness, a fear, a scream, excitement, because your body learns to cope with it. And when it comes later in your life, you say, I know I can cope with it. And other people are running away from it. They you know, like a turtle, they got in their shell, and they say, no, it's too intensive for me. It's too strong. Because they are losing control. The thing is, by this moment, is to losing control and to trust yourself. I'm coming back to myself after. It is like explosion. In you, it's explosion in your feelings that you lose yourself.
Does it have to do something with the fact, what you said before, that as a child, if my father throws me in the air, I trust that he will also catch me again? That this the hope that he catches me again, but this intense feeling combined with the trust gives me the possibility to actually really experience it.
No, you experience it, then you say, I can trust him.
Yeah, my mind took over again.
You see?
Yeah.
First you have to experience it. Because if I say, trust me, You have no experience. Can I? Things are changing all the time. And besides, you are with yourself. Even if you fall down, you experience something. You see, your father can tell you. You see, never trust anybody, even your father. It's also a possibility. But this way, you have to experience things. Some things that you experience are good with you. Some things stays as a trauma, traumatic experience that you don't want to do it again.
Yeah, this would have been my next question on some emotionally experiences are so overwhelming that it actually doesn't give you a possibility to go out to the world, but just to hide inside yourself.
Possible. So nobody can judge another person besides being in a situation and how you react in a certain situation.
Yeah. Any experience can be traumatic for a person and not traumatic for another person.
Like Frankl, you know, in the Second World War. Yeah, Viktor Frankl. Yeah. Say, how do you cope with it? You can, you know, when you have pain, what gives you the power to resist the pain, not to resist, to
overcome
the pain, is the hope. When the pain is away and how nice feeling it is, there's a release, you know, of the pain. So you hope, you know, for the moment after. What Victor's actually say, the people in the cassette, when they have some aim, I have to survive to tell the other people what happened. I have an idea and I want to survive this idea. I need and I hope that I will meet the family. They are maybe also survived. It doesn't matter, but they have an aim to live for. We give him the power for this. And that's what I mean. When you throw, when the father throws you in the air, you hope he will take you. This is, it's a part of the excitement.
That you don't know if he will catch you.
You don't know it. That's why the excitement is even bigger, because you don't know it. But that's the guts. Do I have the guts to go through or not? To taking the risk. It's always a child with the first steps that he's doing is taking a risk because he falls down. Okay, he's not very high. When he falls, you know, from 30 centimeters, it's different when he falls from 1.5 meters. But he's taking the risk. Now, we combine two things. We have the curiosity and the hope and the feeling that push us to discover what is behind this curiosity. That is what push us to discover things. But if we are always afraid, we'll never discover things.
Do you also have the feeling that adults are more afraid than children of discovering new things?
That's why most of the discoveries are when you are a young person. Older people don't discover anymore. They add what they started, and then now they make, you know, the logical research and they add the parts together. But the mood to discover something completely new, completely made, that everybody will tell you you are crazy. We are living now Corona. The people who started to tell us there are some living things in you who makes you sick. You say, I don't see it. What do you mean living things? No, it is the food, it is this what you see. Actually, you know, if you can say bacteria for us exist only since we have a microscope. Without a microscope, you don't know, you don't see them, so they don't exist. Suddenly you see they are moving. There's something living there. And then you go more and more and more and more in the curiosity to discover things. That's why I say, you know, the things which are behind my skin or the in front of my skin, the more sensitive I am, the more I can feel things and trust there is something behind.
But one thing that, I mean, it's totally logical to me what you're saying, but I still try to find out something like what I can change in my life then. I give you an example. When I had a dog and I was really sick she sensed it. It's like children and pets, they are sensing emotions in you and they know if you like them or not. And I think, I guess I had the same quality when I was a child, but I still don't know where I lost it and how I can regain this sensing and containing other people in a way that it's exciting and not overwhelming for me.
Trusting your feelings.
So trust my feeling and act out of my feelings.
And don't say it's not logical, I'm wrong. Except you don't know, but you feel something. We don't have to explain everything. The day that my wife explained me why she loves me, I give her a divorce. For a simple reason. Because she will give me practical things. You are nice, you are clever, you tell jokes, it doesn't matter. I can bring immediately 50 men who got the same things. But there is something you cannot explain. You can only click with your finger and say, that is it. Why do I like you? Can I explain it? Is it because of your smile? Is it because of your eyes? No, many people are the same smile or the other. I can't explain it, but it's something, it's an energy, there is something we feel and we cannot explain it. Now, it can be for longer time. It can be for a second that you live it, feel it, you know, and maybe after a second it's something new, which stimulates your body and so on. It's very difficult to say. When somebody looks at the flower and says, wow, and other goes by, don't see it even. I don't have to explain everything, but to accept.
This is
the logic blocks you.
Yeah, the logic blocks me. You're right. The logic broke me.
And you got this blocks, these patterns. That's the way it has to be, which blocks you. It starts, you know, when you try to prove yourself that you are right. Instead of trusting yourself. Because the moment that you are going to prove yourself, you are going in the logical part, which is limited.
And when I try to prove myself, I actually don't trust. Because if I trust, I don't have to prove.
Exactly. I stay to my feelings. If I have to prove it, I have to go in physical blocks, you know, and then I have to push my feelings in something which maybe it doesn't suit. So I give them a different form.
When you talk already about patterns and feelings and blocking feelings, for example, if I as a child was afraid that I get like a slap from my parents and I raise a shoulder. And then when I get older, I still have this behavioral pattern of raising my shoulder whenever I'm in a work meeting or under stress or I get a call from somebody. So this is actually limiting my being present because I'm reacting from something of the past.
Because you are reacting on being afraid of punishment.
Yeah. So is this like, how can I relearn that I not do it? Is it just becoming aware of it? Or what would you recommend that I can change this and then actually behave free again?
It's very difficult. If there is so easy to give you the answer. But it is the first thing. Okay, I got punished. It doesn't mean I'm not right because I was punished. I come back to myself. Okay, he thinks different and he punished me. But I still believe that I was right. I'm not afraid what people are. You know, I've been on stage all over the world. I don't know who was in the critic. Now, me or the people who wrote
the audience.
No, not the people who wrote the critics.
In the papers, yeah.
In the papers. Because I got the same mimes. For the same mimes, I have at least 1,000 different opinions. But they're still my mimes. From high philosophical to a superficial and so on. It's their opinion. It's okay. The thing is, do I stay behind it? So people didn't like it, but I stay behind what I show. I've done things which have been before the time. I've done in the Vienna festival a work with movement and so on, Le Portrait, it doesn't matter. And it was the first time, it was in the 60s, that the dancers, you know, used words or sounds with their mouth. And everybody attacked me. A dancer shouldn't make ah or shouldn't mm. And I said, why? They are not talking, but the voice is a part of expression. And it was completely new. So I broke something which was not done till this time. Years after, they have done it suddenly.
So you started, I think, when I read it correct, with 10, like being on stage, like at the age of 10. And then you were a mime and you also lectured students on a theater. Was it logical for you to then go and hold seminars on body language and write books about it? Or did you like slip into this?
I slipped into it, actually. Look, I've done dancing, I've done theater, and then I've done mime, and that I concentrate myself on mime. I have a problem in the theater. I can't keep text. I forget. I know exactly what I have to say. But to repeat exactly if it was, I don't know, my brain couldn't take it. In the school, when I have, you know, to say by heart, to say a poem or something like this, I couldn't. Partly, yeah, partly no, but I could explain exactly what it meant in each word, that the interpretation had been exactly. So it was for me a limitation in big parts in theater, because the partner was looking for the cue. When he's starting, I have to give him the cue with my body. Dancing was not, it was too abstract for me. So I find myself in mime because I wanted to make my ideas, my stories. I'm a storyteller. Performing characters, but before we say, you know, if I change my body, I change my feelings. I change the way the feeling goes through me. A mother who loses a child, the deep pain that she has is the Turkish or Greek mother. Or the Scandinavian or the North Germany, it's the same pain. The expression is different. The Greek will scream, throw herself on the floor, and say, take me instead of my child, yeah, and so on. The German, North German, she will block her pain not to disturb the other people. Now, it's the same pain, how it will be expressed when I block it, and how it will be expressed when I open it. It's the same. That's what I meant, you know. It's like water. If you press the pipe, it goes different. And when you open the pipe, you know, and give it free, the flow of the things. It's the same thing in our body. If somebody goes in a certain way in his body, is this a program? If I take my chest back, and somebody will make boo, I will go back. If my chest is forwards, my head will come, hey, automatically, without thinking, because the program in my body is in a different state. Now, by me doing different characters in mime, it means I give the characters my body, my breathing. It took it, and it became individual. So the first, I give him the form, and then he guide me. To deliver yourself to the character you are playing, it's not easy. It's accepting I give myself
away.
That's what we do when we love somebody.
It's being passionate about something, giving
when yourself. When you are patient, you give yourself away. If you're under control, you don't give yourself away. You enjoy it also, but you don't give yourself away. It's the moment you are not afraid. Now, doing different characters, I've been very aware of what happens in my body. That my eyes look different. My attention is on different things. My breath is different. My body reacts different. And this is the start of body language. Now, coincidentally, because I was in the world of theater, a world of feelings, which have been normal for me, feelings, expressing yourself, being free, free mind, free body, free feelings. Somebody asked me, how do you like to give for us, you know, once, you know, a body language
training
from the industry? You know, I had a personal manager, now more than 60 years, that we are together. I've never seen a contract in my life. I'm dyslexic too. So in writing and things like that, it was not my power. I was very happy that he's doing everything and he left me doing my art. So for me, being with business people, the only opportunity, the connection between me is when they have been sitting in dark as audience. Otherwise, it was not my world. So the first time I come and started with body language and so on, it was completely a different world. It's a new experience for me. People are don't believe in their feelings, all the time controlling themselves. I felt, like the child in the emperor's new dress, outside the system, say, hey, the king is naked. Don't you see that you are naked? That was my feeling. And then trying to explain them. When you change this, you present yourself different. The first, when you see somebody, you accept him or you invite him with your eyes before everything. Then come maybe the sound, the smell, and other things. First, you look and what you see, it's the first impression that you have. And you get already, how do you say?
Like a picture that is...
Like a picture. Now, he has to work to change this picture that he gave you in the beginning. But he's losing time. Why not being the way that you are...
Already from the start.
Yeah. Not from the start. Because he's afraid in his surrounding, in his education. And it's always the fight between the way I feel, the way I think of myself, and the way I present myself. Suddenly, it's not me. It is only what are the expectations from me. I have nothing to fulfill expectation of people. But I don't care if I don't. I am the way I am. What doesn't mean I don't give a damn when I say I am what I am. Of course you are trying, to coordinate, to synchronize with other people, but not by giving myself away. My younger boy, is a film actor. And we worked yesterday. And when we work on the character, he was doing. And I say, Nadiv, you don't have to do. Just be. Yeah, but I say, no, you don't need to do. If somebody wants you in the film, it's the way you look. Don't play. That be there. Be there in a certain situation. You don't have to show me I can do. You cannot play hearing. Just hear.
That is really interesting.
Don't try to convince me that you are sitting here. I see it. You know what I mean? It sounds stupid.
I want to come to another topic. I think it was also in the seminar that I attended with you that we were talking about verbally attacking someone is really hurtful, but ignoring somebody is the worst. Like getting ignored from somebody is the worst. Can you explain why you said this and what it has to do with that everybody is looking for recognition and that everybody is wanting to have an impact on other people?
What are the things you don't being aware of? Have you been aware that my telephone is here? No. And you know why? You don't need the telephone, and it's not a danger for you. There are two things that I'm being aware of, because when I walk, there are thousands of things around me. There are two things, that my filter have to be aware. The one thing, it can supply my needs. Doesn't matter which kind of this, from curiosity, beauty, or any pleasure or needs of hunger or that. Can it, cover my needs? Or is it a potential
danger?
They are the only two things. If they are either no, I ignore it. That doesn't exist for me. It means not being aware of somebody is... either is useful for me, not even a potential danger, is nothing. It means it doesn't exist. And that is nothing wrong for us, more terrible I don't exist. Existence is influencer, because you are aware of things that influence you, make change in you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter in which form. Otherwise, we spoke before. You are not aware of things. If it doesn't affect you in any way, it doesn't exist. Now we want to exist. That's the only way you know that we know that I'm alive. If there is no difference between me and not me, I don't know that I'm existing. We know now in the corona time, you know, all the people which they kept them isolated from their family, you know, the psychological damage that they have done to them. Some of them stop eating, stop drinking, and so on, because they don't exist. Nobody needs me. So we need to be in connection to something. The glass will exist for me. There is a word in German which you say Beziehung.
Oh, like you have a relation to
a relation. If I have no relation to something, so it doesn't exist for me. We need that people who have a relation to me and so on. Now we are afraid not being accepted, not to fulfill expectation. Now the problem with expectation, you never know what expectation, because nobody tells you what I expect from you. And the bigger is, we know what they expect from me and I can't fulfill it. And here is, can I fulfill it in other ways? By doing this, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe in 1 year, or maybe some other person who needs me. But this way of thinking, you know, one and one make two, there are no other options. It's not the way that life exists. We are always in a net, and the net got different connections with each other. When you move one, it influences all the others. That if I move one, it doesn't influence any other.
It's not needed anymore.
Nodes. I'm not connected.
Mm. But this also says what you said at the beginning when we start talking, that we cannot fulfill our own needs at all. Like, we need other people to fulfill our needs.
That's right.
I mean, this is the nice thing about this connecting to others.
When I was, you know, with the top managers, CIOs and so on, when I say, you know, I'm not dependent from my personal or the workers, yeah, and so on, I say, you're stupid. You are dependent on a carrot. When he looked at me with the big eyes, I say, you cannot produce the vitamins, vitamins. So you are always dependent on things. Be aware of this. I'm happy that I'm dependent on other things. And there are so many possibilities in this dependence.
I see how much you like possibilities.
Yeah, that's life.
That's being alive.
And I don't have to, you know, all the possibilities to be fulfilled. I'm glad they are there.
How can I realize fear in another person, like in my own body or in the body of somebody else? Like, what are the most important signs that I have to watch?
It blocks.
Any blocks.
He suddenly, he breathes slowlier. It doesn't breathe, you know, in the normal breathe in and out. It's
this blocked breathing, yeah.
Yeah, the joints are blocked. It doesn't move free. Because now, why the blocks are the fear? The first thing to run away is the tension in the muscles. And the release of the muscles make the movement. So we control ourselves because we don't run away. We are good educated. But you see suddenly a small blocks in the breathing, in the joints. It means he is afraid of something, but he's not aware that he is afraid, because he connect afraid with big dramatic things he sees in movies. But when I see now people go with a mask alone in the streets, in the field, there's nobody there, and I say, he's protecting whom? The virus that they are in the air, but he's afraid. So he doesn't open himself. He's protecting himself. Having a mask is protecting, is blocking me. I don't breathe anymore free. It's okay. I don't say don't have a mask. But everything that blocks me means I cannot stream with the things. And you can see it. Especially in the joints, the eyes, which are running away. They don't want to confront. Because when I look at you, you are immediately activated. To say, what does he want? Yeah? And now it goes, positive, negative. But first, he looks at me, it means I am in relation to him. Which kind of relation? Which kind of thing does that? Now, if I don't look at you, he's occupied with something else. So, when you go in the night in New York and you hear steps behind you, you don't turn to him. Because you know, the moment you will turn, you force him to be active. He has to take position. Either he shoots you, or you shoot him. As far as you ignore him, you don't provoke.
Because if I ignore him, he's not existing.
As if he doesn't exist.
As if he doesn't exist, yeah.
You know, we cannot say if it's right this way or this way, but that is the nature that we are reacting. And one of the biggest thing is not to fulfill expectations.
So this is a recommendation? Not to fulfill expectations?
I don't feel that I had a need to always to fulfill expectation from me. If I can, it's very nice. If not, okay, somebody else maybe. But we want to be loved from everybody. You know, it doesn't work like that way. But you, as you said before, you can see the blocks.
Like the blocks in moving, in every joint.
In moving, in breathing, in...
Speaking,
even being afraid to move the eyes sometimes. So it's plenty focus with the eyes. You just say, hey, are you afraid to move with your eyes because something may happen in the moment that I don't look at you?
But this is then the freeze mode of this fight, flight or freeze.
Yeah.
But don't a lot of people, when they are afraid, just run away?
Then it's okay. But the first, as I said, the first
thing is the block. Thing
is to contract my muscle to be able to run away. Without contraction and releasing, there is no movement. But he's contracting, but not running away. And that is the blockade.
When we talk about fear, I thought long about fear, and then I realized that most of the fears I have are in my mind. And they never became true, to be honest.
That's what I say always.
Yeah, they never become true. Do you have an idea why people, when they are afraid, take refuge in their head and not go to their bodies? Like, why do we search for answers in our mind when we are afraid and not in our bodies?
That's why you have been educated, to find the reason.
It's finding a reason.
When you say there is no gorillas, there is no terrorist here with bombs on him, and so on, what are you looking for the reason? Speculation, what is going to be tomorrow, you never know. Anyway, you know, go out and start dancing. Turn around, throw your hands in the air and so on, and you see suddenly you are not afraid. Because you release the tension.
So this is the same thing that if I would feel like I'm stuck, I am afraid, and I make a full open body position like this V pose, this victory pose. This is immediately
not only one movement.
Or dancing around.
Dancing.
Just releasing the blocks.
Yeah, releasing the blocks.
How many times a day do you dance around and release the blocks?
Not very much. But everybody got his fears. It's not right that somebody don't have fears. We all have fears. The question is if the fear take control on me or the I on the fear.
I would prefer the second option.
Of course, you know, because I say, okay, but in the moment there is nothing there. What happened later, I don't know.
Before we come to an end, I want to ask you, because you advise politicians in body language, I read. And there are, of course, these evil voices who say, okay, you can rehearse body language that you come across more honest, more authentic, more self-assured. Is it really something that you can train, body language?
Yes, exactly as you train language. But the first thing is learning who are you. What do you want? Why are you this and this? You know, you go to politician for what? Be honest with yourself. To impress people, to have power, to do this and this. You know, it is not putting something strange on him. You know, I'm not trying to make from him a different figure that he is. You know? If you take in Austria, Sinovats, to see Sinovats suddenly, you know, I don't know if you know what Sinovats.
I don't know.
Sinovats was a minister here, and after Kreisky became the Chancellor here. Yeah. And they tried to train him, you know, with the fist and so on. It was not, he was a good person. It's like a good opapa, yeah. You know, a good grandfather. That is was his nature. He was the one behind Kreisky. What I say, he was ironing the needs that Kreisky had been doing. You know, so you cannot put on him being this. But I say, okay, you are a soft man looking for harmony and so on. Now, how can we take this thing
in you and transform it in the body
and bring it forwards to make it to benefit? That's what I can offer you. That's what I can give you. If you need somebody with a fist, it's not me. Don't try to run away for yourself. A bad training, you know, is trying to have samples and to say that's the way a counselor has to be, or that's the way a politician has to be, and that's wrong. It's developing the personality of the person and giving the possibilities. Bring it out. Stay to it. Because every politician is under pressure of his party, of different things from behind. You know, so he's not always presenting his own ideas. Now is the question. Are you brave enough to present your ideas? Or you are only a puppet in the party? That's not the person
you want to train.
To train.
Yeah.
But if I can develop things that you are inside and blossom them, then you find the people who will say, that's nice.
That for me, the nice summary is one thing that you once said. You said, body language is manipulative, but first and foremost to yourself, because it shapes you in the end how you act.
If you are afraid, you will never open your arms, because you deliver your soft parts, your tummy and so on, and your neck. But if you are afraid, you always will tend.
And block.
To block these possibilities. If you overcome it and really speak with open hands, but you're still afraid, you will feel it in the neck. You will feel it in the other joints. So you are... You see, he's opening, but he's blocking at the same time. So it's not open, actually.
And people who are sensitive would feel it?
Immediately. Immediately, because you see the blocks. But if he turn and try and do it, and he say, look, I feel good doing this. So learn to experience yourself the things you never experienced when you've been a child.
Like unlearning the learned things,
yeah.
To be yourself again.
Yeah.
Before we finish, I want to finish with three questions. The first question I have is, what is currently your biggest fear?
My biggest fear? Not to be understood from people that are near to me.
Why does it make you afraid?
It breaks the communication. The stream. You don't have to accept. You know, nobody has to accept, but I like to be understood. And this is to accept that I'm thinking different. But acceptance can be maybe not to be ignored from the people that that are for me important.
For me, it's just very striking that you say this, because understanding is for me something so in the head and in the mind.
No.
It's not for you.
It's not. It's sometimes just sitting beside. Not more.
Second question.
Okay, you got me.
I think I got you. Second question. What are you currently doing that you still don't know how it will turn out?
I'm writing a new book.
You're writing a new book.
Of course, you don't know how it will come. But I believe many people will have said, I never thought about it.
So what is it about?
Territory.
And the last question is something special. Since years, I write my most famous quotes in a book. And I will just go through the pages and you say stop. And we will stop on one quote. We both don't know on which one. And you just comment on this quote. Okay. So let's go.
Stop.
Do you want to go left or right?
Left side.
Middle, bottom, or top?
Middle.
The first step to getting what you want is having the courage to get rid of what you don't want. From Paulo Coelho.
I think he is right, but I will never, you know, be occupied with what I don't want. I will be focusing on what I want.
This is the best ending for this podcast. Always be focused on what you want, never on what you don't want.
Yeah. Who cares what I don't want?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.